Hi, I'm John McGinn on Clyde One.
Hi, I'm Kenny McLean. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Counting down to Switzerland. Live from Cologne, this is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the eve of Scotland's second Euro 2024 game. Steve Clark's side are in Cologne gearing up for a must-take-something game against Switzerland. Big decisions lie ahead. Who replaces Ryan Porteous? Does Billy Gilmore come in and who for? And to make us feel at home, the rain's battering down on the Rhine, but it hasn't dampened the spirits of the Tartan Army. It has, however, dampened the spirits of Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel, who thought it was a good idea to do the show outside. It's freezing cold. You two have got your jackets on and we are sheltering from the rain. How's it going?
Yeah, great. Day 7 for us in Germany, day 3 in Cologne, but the first day for many is thousands seem to have arrived this afternoon, and they've arrived to some dreadful weather. A tornado warning, can you believe, in Cologne, and we are sitting on a balcony just off the Rhine doing the show. But a huge 24 hours ahead for us, some big decisions for Steve Clark, and one of the biggest games that I can remember in Scotland's history in tournament football.
I did tell you not to blow your nose in public, yeah, but you wouldn't listen. Looking forward to the football tomorrow?
Yes, I am, especially after Friday night's disappointment. We've got to put that behind us now, Gordon. Everything, the focus is totally on tomorrow. Mark's right, we were down the city there, the fans are turned up in their numbers, they're here, they're hopeful. We have to get our Euros going. Biggest question out there just now, and I've been talking to one or two fans, what team will Steve Clark put in the pitch tomorrow night? He's got to get that right for me.
Come on then, answer the man on 01419511025. You need to carry an extra burden of responsibility if you're listening at home, because as you'll have noticed during our live shows throughout the Euros, we've been surrounded by Scotland fans, we've had loads of options, we've been getting fans to join us live on the show, we've been taking some of your calls as well, but the weather here is so bad that they've closed the fan zone, they've closed the beer garden that we are sitting in, and therefore it's all on you. Don't leave us hanging here. There will be no fans, unless somebody walks by, of course, but we're looking for you to do it the traditional way on 0141 951 1025. The good thing is there is plenty to talk about. It is, since we're at a Euros and we're not used to this stuff, let's use UEFA speak. It's match day minus one. See what they've done there?
Yeah.
Match day minus one here in Cologne. So what are you thinking then? Let's think about that team selection. Does Billy Gilmore come back in, and who for? Who replaces Ryan Porteous? Because someone has to. He's banned for the next two games. Would you make any other changes? Would you shuffle the midfield apart from Billy Gilmore? Would you change the attack? Would you make changes perhaps areas of the defence that we've not mentioned? Give us all your thoughts right now, please, on 01419511025. Like we said, the question that has to be answered is who replaces Ryan Porteous. Straight away, we need an answer. And then there seems to have been a lot of clamour about Billy Gilmore. Are you on board with that? Would you bring him back in, and who for? And then what else is out there for you? Here's a radical thought. Maybe you're listening, sheltering from the rain in Cologne, and you just want a phone rather than giving us your presence in person. 01419511025. It is the same number. But particularly for you lot at home, Germany was bad. Friday night was bad. We've got no choice but to move on. How do we fix it? That's the theme of tonight's show. The theme is not how bad was Friday. The theme is how do we fix it? How do we look forward? And how do we get something? Because we need to take something, that's for sure.
Without doubt, and we need to move on from Friday, and I think we are trying our best to do it. We analysed it, we went over it, we spoke about what we could have done better, we spoke about all the failures, but now the full concentration is on tomorrow night in the Cologne Stadium, a beautiful venue for it. 50,000 or just under 50,000 is going to be in there. A lot of the Tartan Army just arriving in Cologne today. This will be their first sight of Germany, and their first sight of how the weather changes here dramatically, because Daz and I did the 3 mile walk from our hotel into
lovely
town. It was lovely, and it was roasting, and he moaned every step of the way how he was
shock
sweating. But within half an hour we were soaked, and he was moaning at how cold it is, and now he's sitting next to me with two jackets on. So
it's a bit cold. Yeah, I wasn't expecting this,
but the players will have to deal with it. you know, tomorrow the conditions, we believe the other game up in Dortmund just now are seeing some horrendous conditions, and we've seen some pictures of the crowd being affected by that. But by all accounts, tomorrow's going to be a brighter, warmer day, and the players have to deal with that challenge as well. But take away the weather, it's a footballing aspect that everybody concentrates on. We spoke about from Friday to now how good our players are and how good they've been in big games, and tomorrow they really have to show it and turn up on the big occasion.
Not just that, Mark, I think that a big bit of the responsibility is going to go to the manager tomorrow night. Everyone will have their favourites, everyone will have a different opinion on who should play in the personnel. You can argue, will he be brave enough to go with Forrest down as a right wing back? Because I do think he'll still keep three centre backs. Gilmore, for me, has got to come into the side. And then you've got the other question, Mark, up front. Shanklin's a goal scorer. We're going to need goals tomorrow night. Does he start Shanklin as well? But also, he's got to get tactically where he's going to press. I think that Scotland went out with a game plan on Friday night. I think they were surprised with the Germans. I think the Germany were brilliant, and we get caught because you were watching experienced guys who played at highest level. At one point, didn't know where to go and press, where their distances were, everything like that. Surely Steve Clark's worked in that for the last 4 days.
Come on then, 01419511025. How do we fix it? It's all about tomorrow. We try and leave Germany in the past. Give us your solutions. Who replaces Ryan Porteous? Does Billy Gilmore come back in? And if so, who for? Mark alluded to it, there's a bit of a quieter schedule today, but we do have another game on. And good to see Georgia have stopped whining about the rain. And in fact, they're getting their act together after that night at hand. And Turkey 1, Georgia 1 is the score, with about 50-odd minutes gone there. That one is in Dortmund, so they've had a bit of the rain as well. You have to say, I know it's a bit of a kind of cliched statement under these conditions, but The spirit of the Tartan Army, the Scotland fans come over, Mark, hasn't been dampened. Every corner you turn, it feels like, again, more Scotland fans. It's just like Munich, but today in particular, more and more arriving. And we'll get to the football, of course, but one thing that's not in doubt is the sort of off-field stuff here just continues to be incredible, doesn't
it? I've been so impressed by the mood of them, because, look, us as being from Scotland, we're always, a lot of the time we're pessimistic. A lot of the time we see the worst in our teams that we support, and we always pick the negatives. It has been the opposite here on the ground in Germany. Almost every fan that we've had on our show or we've spoke to off air is so positive about things. And I think a lot of them realise that where we actually sit in the tournament, we keep going on about this, is we're in no worse off a position than anyone really thought. I know the goal difference was bad, but there is optimism there, and the mood is still high. And it's great, the stories that we're hearing, and people just arriving here for this one game. There'll be people just arriving for the Hungary game. People have sampled Munich and then went back home. And, of course, there's the hardcore supporters who are just here until probably the tournament finishes, in the hope that Scotland will get further into the tournament. But it's great to meet them. And as you said, there are thousands pouring in again to the city this afternoon.
I said at the top, it's all on you. No live fans today. The fan zones here have been closed. However, plenty for you to get through on those phones on 0141 951 1025. We're still here on the banks of the Rhine, and we've got lots to come for you tonight, because we have been out and about in the city today taking the temperature of those Scotland fans. We will be crossing to the stadium as well, because Steve Clark will do his press conference in the not too distant future. He'll be joined by one of the Scotland players, possibly the captain. Not entirely sure how it's going to work this evening. Switzerland are doing their press at the moment as well, so we'll give you the inside track on what to expect from our opponents. Let's dive in on the phones then with Angus, who's in Partick. How are you, Angus?
Oh, guys, how are you doing?
All good here, all good. What are you thinking for tomorrow then?
Enthusiastic as well, didn't he?
What do you think his point was going to be?
Such a promising start there from Angus. He sounded enthusiastic as well, didn't he?
What do you think his point was going to be?
I think it was about the team.
I was looking for you to use your imagination.
No, it's obviously about the team. I could hear in his voice the excitement.
Angus sounds like a weather man. Didn't he?
Yeah, probably as well. Yeah, he's got to give us a rundown of what the weather's going to be and what to wear tomorrow. But I think it's, listen, it's, we've heard it in the city. We've heard it talking to supporters coming in their droves. They talk about what team Steve Clark's got to play tomorrow. I think there'll be a few changes. Obviously, they've got to be one at the back. I think he'll stick to his back three. Of that, there's no doubt. I don't see the reason to go into a back four. Does Forrest come in? Does Shanklin come in? Does Gilmore come in? I think he'll bring Hanley in. So it'll be interesting to see and just listen to Steve Clarke. But as I said, he's got to get everything right. You know, it summed us up on Friday when the set piece coach was arguing with the manager because of different... We just looked out of sorts for some reason, Friday. That's behind us. We have got to go and get something out of this game tomorrow.
We need to get Angus back on those phones. Don't forget, as always, you can tweet us at Clyde SSB if you've got any thoughts there on those questions that Gordon floated about who replaces Ryan Porteous, because it has to be someone, or who Billy Gilmore replaces if he does indeed come back in, and what else you think you have up your sleeve. Angus, he was back and now he's gone.
Oh, what?
I can barely handle the tension here.
It's nothing to do with our connection, because our guys line. Have been incredible connecting this, even this weather. You know how we've set this up? Can't think of anything, but well,
you've missed a patch of here. It's the only thing they've missed.
You? Have you enjoyed Cologne? Because we alluded to it on last night's show, and I'll have eventually stopped bringing it up. But I feel like last night you were
a wee bit flat
here in body,
yeah,
but maybe nothing else. Maybe today a bit more. I have to say, I was still worried about you at breakfast, but I feel maybe a bit more. Like yourself.
Yeah,
today.
Yeah, I'll be back to it. I'm just, it's a bit of nerves as well, Gordon. I'm looking forward to such a big...
Oh, it was nerves, was
yeah,
that right?
Big
stage. I can tell in the toilet, because it's been quite a disturbing 48 hours.
Because I have to say, what people didn't realise last night, I thought you did the performing part of it well, but every single ad break that we went to, and they're not that long... You just took your headset off, put your mic down, and just left us. Just walked away. Mark Wilson and I were on our own. You did the full show with your shoes off for whatever reason. I don't know. I just felt you were out of sorts. It's good to have you back.
Everybody can have a bad Monday, Gordon. But as I said, I think we're all gearing up for a brilliant Wednesday night.
Right, let's go to Andrew, I think, who's on the line. How are you, Andrew?
Not too bad. How are you doing?
Not too bad as well. That's a good way of summing it up in this rain at the moment. What are you thinking for tomorrow then? How do we fix it?
4-4-2. Change the goalkeeper. Take Shea Adams away from it and get the younger striker to partner Shankland. We might get McCormick up there as well and really go for the goals. Because this is our last chance. How are you thinking of that?
I'll start then. No, I don't think that's a great idea. Look, we touched on it in the show last night. What built this Scotland team into the force that could qualify for major tournaments? The force that could go away to Norway and win and can beat Spain at home and can compete to a certain extent with Spain away from home, where we put ourselves in a really good position only for it to be ruled out with VAR. That's never ever going to be abandoned, in my opinion. And look, we found a system, I think, that revolves a lot around the Robertson-Tierney factor on the left-hand side. It's such a big asset for us. We would be abandoning that. And then to play two up front, look, Shea Adams didn't do anything wrong the other night. I agree with Daz that Shanklin might be in with an opportunity of starting this one, just because he is an out-and-out goal scorer, and we might have more territory up the pitch. We might be able to put balls into the box for him, but I don't think he's going to throw in the young lad up front, the Shanklin, and I don't think he'll abandon the shape or the formation.
And also, you unbalance it, Mark, in the middle of the park. If you go with a flat four across the middle of the park, you would have maybe McGinn playing the right-hand side, Gilmore in there with McGregor, McTominay, where does he play? Look, I like attacking football, and I totally agree. Listen, we look at it and think to ourselves, we've got to win this, we've got to get more people up the park. Doesn't happen that. We are a three-at-the-back team. That's where we get our success from. He'll change the personnel, but I just think that he'll stick with the back three with two wing-backs. He might bring Forrest in. He might be more attacking, getting Forrest up and down the right-hand side to probably create some chances. Shanklin, for me, I think, will come in tomorrow night as well. So as much as we can look at it and say it wasn't good the other night, I don't think you can rip it off after one game. Because remember something, Germany were very good in the host of this tournament. Let's not forget that.
Is that not a slight issue, Andrew, when you look at that, you know, the fact that we don't really have any wide midfielders, so you would have to play an extremely narrow midfield, you're then asking a lot of whoever your fullbacks are, does it not sort of undo all the hard work, even if the other night was rubbish, looking, and it was. Ultimately, every single time these players meet up, every time Steve Clark's had them in the training ground for the last couple of years, pretty much been working on this system. Can you abandon it after one game against a very good team?
I think you could, because we've not won any games for a long time, regardless of that. So I think a good change at 4-4-2, change it up a wee bit, would really put a mark on the game for us.
Again, I get that, Mark, as well, because the unfortunate thing, we mentioned it, is the lead-up to the tournament, the team wasn't in brilliant form, right? This is not... These caveats I'm about to add, it's not enough to get you off the hook completely, because you need to take responsibility for losing those games. But obviously, some of them were against top-tier opposition, yes. First and foremost. Secondly, within some of those games, a lot of them, if you look back, because even when the qualification campaign was done, yes, we kept that system... But Robertson and Tierney missed a lot of those games. Look up the formations if you don't believe me. Look up the team lines. They missed a lot of those games between the end of the qualification campaign and the friendlies.
Yeah.
Then you add in the fact, obviously, that the good run before that was under this system. I just wonder why we're so, maybe not knee-jerk being the right phrase, but we're unwilling to praise this system for giving us the long unbeaten run, but we're willing to blame it for the long winless run.
Yeah. Well, people automatically assume when you lose, like you did the other night, that you need players further up the pitch, and the way to solve that is by playing two up front. And it's just basically, it's not. It's about how you manage to work the ball up the pitch and get bodies in and around good areas. Now, when you're playing with one up front, like we have done for so much of this qualification campaign under Steve Clark's tenure, the real positives for us has been the left hand side, and just behind the striker you've had Scott McTominay sometimes, but John McGinn. Now if you take one of those away, or you take the supply to them away, which might be Billy Gilmore or Callum McGregor behind, you take a huge part away from your team. So it's a system that suits us. It didn't suit us the other night, but Daz is spot on, because Germany are a world-class team who smothered us and we couldn't keep control of the ball. That'll be different tomorrow. Swiss are very good. They're very good in the middle of the pitch as well. So if you take another one of your players out of that middle of the pitch, we will get overrun.
We do this, though, Gordon, when we talk about club football throughout the season. There's still a lingering notion for a lot of people, and again, it's not to say they're wrong to want change, but there's still a lingering notion that 4-4-2 is the solution to your problems and it makes you more attacking, despite the fact that there are very few teams anywhere in the world that play that way.
Yeah, I can totally understand people having a different opinion and thinking we'll go for it in a different formation. Now, if he goes to a back four, I don't think he will, but if he went to a back four, he'll not play four in the middle of the park. He'll play 4-2-3-1.
Yeah.
You know,
okay,
because,
well, is that not an option then?
Because that's what I'm trying to give you here. That would be the only option. He can't go for a flat 4-4 and a two striker. It ain't going to work, and it's never going to happen. If he changes to a four, and I don't think we've got the strongest personnel to change to a four, if I'm honest, but if he does go to a four, it would be two, probably McGregor, Gilmore sitting there, and then you've got your three up top supporting your front man. That's the only way you could fit that and change that system.
Well, you never know, Andrew. Maybe we've slowly stumbled onto something on 01419511025. Keep your calls coming, and we're going to get the inside track. We're going to cross over to the stadium as well and find out what's been going on up there as well. So Clyde One Super Scoreboard live in Cologne. Give us a call and we'll speak to you next.
Live from Germany with UK debt experts. The national team helping you tackle your debt. May not be suitable for all. Fees and disadvantages may apply. Free advice at moneyhelper.org.uk.
Yes, Clyde One Super Scoreboard live in Germany. Big thanks to UK debt expert for helping sending us over. We're coming live from Cologne, from Tannsbrunnen, Rheinstrassen Beer Garden. And I have to say, the rain is battering down here. But we will be here until Thursday anyway before moving to Stuttgart. UK debt expert have helped over 250,000 people deal with their debt. That's about five times the capacity of Hampden, if you want to think football terms, and 45,000 of those in Scotland. So if you're struggling with debt you can't control, talk to UK Debt Expert. There is a solution for you, and you can find out more at ukdebtexpert.co.uk. There is nothing worse, nothing more basic than weather updates on the radio or TV, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL, but seriously, what is going on here? We are in our shorts, we're broadcasting live outside. We thought we were going to be in a lovely sunny beer garden with Scotland fans all around us, and the rain is biblical.
I'm quite enjoying it. It's exciting. The guy to my right, he certainly isn't enjoying it though. He's got the hood up.
It's just battering right in, is here. I can't believe how bad this is.
Well, we've got insurance for this equipment.
We've not even got an umbrella between us.
I know, we were looking for an umbrella, weren't we?
Yeah.
Earlier on today, but we could not find a shop that sold one. So, we'll brave it. We're Scottish. We're used to it. This is like Scotland in a June day back home as well, is it not?
I've stuck a nice video on my Instagram of Gordon DL with his hood up. How many jackets have you got on?
Two.
He's taking all the team's jackets and just put them on.
Sitting here for the show. But anyway, 01419511025. That is the number that you need. We are here, of course, live in Germany. So we've been getting the feeling amongst the Scotland fans. We're going to get the feeling of Steve Clark very soon, I hope, as well. But I'll tell you what, let's find out what the Tartan Army were saying to it a bit earlier on as well. Because, of course, the shows we've been doing, we've had the luxury of bringing some Scotland fans onto the show live. Can't do that tonight because of the weather, which is so bad. The fan zones have been closed. But our reporter Gabriel was out and about in Cologne earlier, and here is what the Scotland fans had to say.
Right, we're here in the Old Market Square in Cologne, speaking to a few Scotland fans. First things first, the weather. There was a severe weather warning, but it's sunny here. It's hot. What do you make of it?
I just don't get where it all came from. The fan zones have been shut, yet it's warm, it's sunny, it's humid, it's brilliant. The vibes are just amazing around here. There's kids playing five-a-sides in the middle of the square. Lots of Scotland fans, no umbrellas in sight.
It's just like a warm day, a normal day back home, isn't it?
We don't really get warm days back home, but yeah, I know what you mean. Nothing wrong with the weather. Don't know where the storm was supposed to be, but it's certainly not in Cologne.
But it only means that you have to be in this square with thousands of other Scotland fans, so it's no problem, is it?
Well, I would say it's a wave of Scotland fans here, so if you're speaking about the weather, it's just, you know, all you can see is seas of Scotland fans. I can't see one Swiss fan around.
Now, what about you? You see any Switzerland fans about?
There was a few last night. They tried to start up some songs in the fan zone when we were watching the France against Austria game, and they got drowned out by the Scots. So, yeah, I've seen a couple, but not many.
Let's talk about the game. Are you both got tickets for tomorrow's match?
Yeah, we're both fortunate enough to get a couple of tickets. All the group that we're with have got tickets as well, so should be a good atmosphere. And I'm hoping this time we can actually celebrate something.
What went wrong last time for you? What went wrong on Friday night in Munich?
We were second to every ball. We won no second balls. And when we did have the ball, We didn't put a foot on it. There was no composure. It was launched into up to Adams, and he had no support all night. So, yeah, we need to get someone on. I would say Billy Gilmore, someone who can put their foot on the ball and help the team play.
So no changes to formation or system, just Gilmore in. Is that it?
I would give Adams another chance. If he doesn't do anything for the first half or 60 minutes, I'd like to see Shantland come on because I know he can get a goal.
What about you? Anyone you'd like to see come in, change of shape, change of formation?
I mean, I'd love to see a change of shape, but I don't think we've actually got the personnel. I think Christie was pretty poor, and he's been a stalwart in the Scotland squad. You know, we don't really have any wingers to play a wing formation. It's more a couple of wing-backs here and there, but I would like to see Gilmore in. I don't think McGregor, McTominay or McGinn really got on the ball. Couldn't get up the pitch. You know, we were very defensive, very, very defensive, and I would like to see a change to that. I'd like to see maybe pressing a bit higher up the pitch.
Looking at the game, Steve Clarke's admitted we've got to get something if we're still going to be in the tournament come the Hungary match. Have you got confidence we can get at least a point?
Yeah, I do. I think if we played like we did in the qualifiers, I think 100%. I mean, the Spain game, even though we got beat, we were brilliant. You know, we took our chances when we needed them. We counter-attacked well. We just couldn't counter-attack against Germany, and hopefully that gets changed on Wednesday.
Score predictions?
One each.
Who's scoring?
The goal scorer will be Adams. I'm going to back him to score. You got a goal.
What about you?
I think it'll be 1-1 also. I think Scott McKenna will come in and score a header from a corner.
Maybe he'll hit the target this time, will he?
Ah, yeah. You don't hit the target, you don't score, so...
There we are. No sign of any thunderstorms yet.
Great. I did say he caught up with Scotland fans a bit earlier on. That was just great timing, because it couldn't be more different now. Things have changed here in Cologne, and yeah, it's not great on that front. But let's talk about the football, though. There clearly is a lot of optimism here, and look, that is much easier when you're here, because it's an incredible experience. It's brilliant to be a part of. Everyone's pulling in the one direction. When you're watching at home, understandably, you watch the 90 minutes, that's all you take away, and let's be fair, it was pretty grim. I think we can all agree on that. So let's bring in Stevie, who's on the line. How are you, Stevie?
Calm down now, mate.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we're all a bit like that. Now it becomes about the solution. So let's leave Friday behind to an extent. What are you doing tomorrow to fix it?
I think obviously not mean no. Just a wee couple of quick points. Not mean the formation. There's a firm. Not mean I don't know if the guys had seen the member of the Titans. I mean, but the coach was told that the other coach knew exactly everything he was going to do, and he's going to have to throw something different. I think that's Steve Clark's philosophy now. So, because everybody's on his game, so maybe, you know, Forrest for Ralston, Tommy Conway up top, not me, no, just something different, guys, not me, no, just Friday was, I mean, Kroos just looked as if he'd spoke to Modric, because he done to us what Modric done to us. No, I mean, he just sat in front of our defence, and if you notice, him and Gundogan were 25 yards apart all the time. So they were ball out wide, winger came inside, knocked back the fullback knocked it into Gundogan, and he done the rest, and we didn't even pick him up. Maybe we did. So I watched the Swiss, they'll probably go 4-3-3 against us. No, I mean, so Clark knows that they're going to go 4-3-3, so he needs to try and counter that. I mean, obviously, with three at the back, they probably might go away, and then five in midfield. I mean, but we need to win. We need to win tomorrow. There's no, I know the boys are saying a point, but I'm going 2-1 Scotland tomorrow. I mean, there's no any, just obviously, I mean, take something out of this game and still be in it, because I think Germany will take Hungary apart. Sorry, if Hungary played the first 60 minutes against Germany the same way, Germany will tear them apart. So they will.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon, modern football, there aren't really any secrets, and everybody kind of knows how everyone else is going to play, and there's so much analysis. Is it really about doing something that surprises the opposition, or is it just about doing your job better?
I think,
let's be fair, Toni Kroos picked us apart because he's absolutely world class, not because he knew what Scotland were going to do. I can't imagine that really played too much of a part.
Yeah, I think we've got to concentrate mostly on ourselves, Gordon, and do what we do good. You know, we work together, we're a good unit, everybody knows their jobs, everybody knows when to press, we get the ball into Midley Park, we've got some terrific players in there, playing at the top level, can pass the ball for fun. None of the basic stuff against Germany just didn't happen. And that was down to the fact that we were a little bit outclassed. I thought Germany got their tactics spot on, were right in it from the first whistle, dictated the play, and really sold the game. It'll be different tomorrow night against Switzerland. Yes, of course you've got to look at their threat, their formation, what you're going to do when you've not got the ball. But tomorrow night, I think the most important thing is, which we didn't achieve on Friday night, is when we get the ball, we've got to try and keep it and try and pass it. We can't just lump balls up the forward line and hope our centre forward runs in and picks the ball up and people can squeeze up. We've got good footballers, we've got to use them.
Let's look forward a bit more, Mark. Look, there's an inevitability, you link it back to Friday, so that's fine. But Stevie did come up with something that I really wonder about, James Forrest.
Yeah, he's probably been on my mind since the other night. I'm looking at how do we take that right side further up the pitch? Because there's no doubt we need to. Now, we've got Robertson and Tierney on one side too. When we've got comfortable possession of the ball, just do it naturally. Anthony Ralston for his club will do it, but because they've got so much possession of the ball, now, I don't think we'll have anywhere near that sort of possession that Celtic enjoy on a week-to-week basis. So you need someone who can maybe carry the ball themselves, run over the top, has that, you know, blistering pace. We hear quite a lot that James Forrest, even though he's getting on in age, is still one of the quickest players at Celtic, and he's been in form at the back end of the season. Now, the problem would be, how is he going the other way? Because Switzerland are going to carry a serious threat on the flanks. Now, he's done it before but it was a long time ago. I just wonder if Jack Hendry moves to that right side, you put Hanley into the middle of that back three, Jack Hendry's pace would help a lot with that, and he'd be able to cover the distance from that kind of inside right centre half to outside to cover James Forrest.
I wonder if it's time, Gordon, for something like that. I take Stevie's point, Stevie wants to win, which is fine, but look, it's still tournament football, things are still a bit precarious. Drawing the game would be fine tomorrow, and then you go for a shootout against Hungary and you try and win it, and 4 points should take you through. Do you need to go as gung-ho in game two as to put somebody who's not a right wing back at right wing back?
No, I don't think you have to throw your aces in the pack, Gordon, I've got to be honest. I think you'll change one or two personnel. I think we're all crying out for Billy Gilmore in the middle of the park. We're looking at, obviously, centre-half position. I take on board everything Mark says, and it's very hard to argue because I'm a massive James Forrest fan, but I just don't think he'll go with that tomorrow night. I don't know who, if he'll play Ralston. He might bring in McCrory there to get him down there. He's got good energy, he's got good pace. He might try something like that and still have that little bit of defensive in his mind, the fact that he can get back, he's a defender, he knows how to defend. And then if we're having to chase games, I think you can look at Forrest. I don't think he'll just go, right, this is it, I've got to put all my aces in the one bag here and go for this game and try to gamble a little bit. I think he'll always have a plan for game one, game two and game three. I think we'll see changes, but I don't think we'll see drastic stuff.
I get it, Mark, those are the fine margins. Maybe at some point you do need to gamble. You've just got this notion that, you know, the possibility that 20 minutes into that game there's a ball to the back post that's just not James Forrest's 40, Switzerland score, and then it very quickly becomes, I cannot believe Steve Clarke put James Forrest at right wing back. So that's the life of a manager, I guess.
Without doubt, and you're judged by your decisions and your big decisions at that, and this one will be a big decision, because equally, if we can't get up the park and, you know, if it is Anthony Ralston or McCrory and they can't carry the ball up the pitch, then again...
Just quickly on that, sorry, is that not more of a structural thing, though, where the team needs to get up the pitch rather than it's Anthony Ralston's fault that the right side doesn't get up the pitch?
Oh, no, I totally agree with that. I mean, we couldn't keep control of the ball in the middle of the pitch, or even our right side
didn't get up the pitch.
Yeah, without doubt. But I just thought Anthony Ralston particularly struggled to bet in that first period. He did anyway. Look, I might be nitpicking, I might just be looking for us to have a real go, and like the callers who've called in, you know, they want a wee bit of change. I don't want to change to a 4-4-2. I think getting a ball carrier in there might be a better solution.
Stevie, who replaces Ryan Porteous? Because it's the one change that has to be made. Is it Grant Hanley? Is it Scott McKenna? Is it something else?
I've got to be Scott McKenna. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to get started in the goalkeepers because I'll be here all night. You know what I mean? I mean, I'll just get a barrage of abuse after I come off the phone. Just all my mates that listen to the show.
Good mates.
But as you think you get it, mate, wait till I come off here, man. Honestly, my phone will just go all night. You know what I mean?
You change your goalkeeper, is that what you're saying?
Eh?
Would you change a goalkeeper?
I've listened to all the aftermath, and they do tend to agree with what I said. Not mean, know that they should have took another goalkeeper. But just quickly, when you watch the first goal, he's diving behind the line. Know what I mean? When I coach goalkeepers, know what I mean, their horns are always forward to push the ball away. Don't mind the body being on the line, but their horns have got to be forward. Know what I mean? And the fifth goal was the same, but to say we move on to tomorrow, know what I mean? No, again, he's the best of a bad lot, know what I mean? So, know what I mean? But I'm just like, does he go with Xander Clarke, or does he do what he's done the last year, Rose and Davey Marshall, know what I mean? So it's going to be Angus Gunn, know what I mean? Know what I mean?
I think quickly, because we're a bit pushed for time, but like, if you had an obvious, I mean, like, Xander Clarke would be the number two. The teams just don't really change goalie from game one to game two in a tournament unless he's, you know, dreadful. And I take Stevie's point. We all think he should have saved the first as well. But is this all? And I know why fans do it, because I would probably, you know, I've done it as well. But it's not a computer game. It's all starting to sound a bit desperate. You know, in the last couple of nights, we've changed the goalie, changed the captain, changed the formation. We lost against Germany, who are much better than us.
Yeah.
I just I can't see the goalkeeper being changed.
Well, it's important not to change too much of what you've actually worked on or what you've prepared on over the months. And not on the pitch, that's just in your own head with Steve Clarke. Look, the goalie did make a mistake, Angus Gunn did make a mistake, and I agree that the fifth goal, I thought he should have done slightly better as well, but he's not going to change. But I still go back to it, I thought Craig Gordon should have been in the squad as well. That's been and gone, so Gunn will be the one who will play all the games, in my opinion.
You've got to ask yourself a simple question, Gordon, just quickly. Who's your best goalkeeper? I know Gunn didn't play particularly well for me the other night there. Who did? I don't see him getting past marks. Gunn is the number one goalkeeper, we'll stick with.
Thank you to Stevie. Just slightly away from football to Gordon DL's other favourite pastime. Not that one, don't be ridiculous. No. Golf. I'm talking about golf. We're giving you the chance to play a round of golf on the PGA Centenary course at Glen Eagles, which is a nice track, I'm sure you'll agree. And it's all for cash for kids. So, and it's not just you, it's a four ball. Tea and coffee, bacon rolls on arrival, a two-course meal after you've played, and a Q&A with the Super Scoreboard pundits, all thanks to our sponsors, Arnold Clark. And it could not be simpler. For your chance to win, you text GOLF, G-O-L-F, to 84901. That gives a £10 donation to Cash for Kids, and then you might win the four ball at Glen Eagles, which is worth hundreds and hundreds of pounds. So it's a bit of a no-lose scenario, a win-win if you like. Texts cost one standard message, plus that voluntary £10 donation. Over 18s only, you must ask the Bill Pierce permission. Head to Clyde1.com/golf. You'll find all the T's and C's and the chance to enter your very own team. The competition closes at 8 p.m. on Thursday. So get texting golf to 84901 and make a £10 donation to Cash for Kids.
Hi, I'm John McGinn on Clyde One.
Hi, I'm Kenny McLean. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Live from Cologne. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. I'd love to say they've got big game fever on match day minus one here in Cologne, but actually they're sitting shivering on the banks of the Rhine because a storm has come in, and our outdoor broadcast on Clyde One Super Scoreboard is not what we thought it would be. It was tremendous last night, though. We'll get back to it tomorrow, I'm sure. Even Hugh Keevans is rubbing it in. He says, it's nice and warm here. Got a hanky over my napper, he says. He's listening.
Yeah, we're loving it.
So there we go. I've
seen a picture of Hugh with a baseball cap on George's show.
Yeah, disturbing, wasn't it? Really disturbing.
Weird.
I just think this time last night, Mark Wilson, you were the victim of a bird dropping from above live on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, right down the back of your calf, onto your nice white trainers.
Humiliating, huh?
1 in 5 million chance, according to Google. Don't know if it's a good omen for Steve Clarke tomorrow.
Well, let's hope so. I've had nothing but good luck today. Went and got a haircut in Germany, and I thought it was going to end a disaster, but that was all right.
So that was very, very brave.
Yeah.
So it was a Turkish barber in Germany, which just adds another layer to the complication. And you, unbelievably, Googled short back and sides and showed the picture to the barber.
Not a word of English spoken. They just looked at me, so I thought I had to think of my feet. So I got up a picture of just a guy with short back, some model.
Anyone?
Just
a
have a look.
Good looking chap, so he was. And the guy just
seriously
laughed.
You just turned your phone.
Just
around.
Turned my phone, and he says, "I know exactly what you want," and he delivered this.
Tell him about your best party. You come in, started moaning.
Oh, the best party. He was finishing, and he showed me it. And does this look okay? And I said, "Great, with a mirror, brilliant." And then he set fire to the big stick, and I thought, "Where is he going with that?"
Yeah, get that at home, don't you?
I've never had that in my life. He starts burning my ears. I'm not joking. Fire was blazing from them. I've never had. Have you had that?
I haven't myself, but I know it's a thing. It's disturbing in the Turkish barber circuit.
It's weird.
But very brave. Is he going for a haircut abroad? No, not for me.
I might try it tomorrow.
By the way, I came back, he was going, where did you get that? He's going tomorrow.
Did he do the nose wax?
No, I didn't ask for that.
No.
But he went
for the dazzler. Yeah,
he'll need a blowtorch for that thing.
Yeah. When I seen the picture, I thought, where is he? He's in a different shop. And then I realised you were a barber's. So
Good on you. Very brave, I have to
tomorrow.
Say. Right, we always try around these big games, whether it's European club competition games or internationals, to give you the expert analysis on the opponent. Now, it's not for me to say that Gordon DL isn't all across every single aspect of Swiss football, but I thought we would give someone else their moment. So Gabriel is down there at the stadium, looking forward to the game. He's grabbed one of the Swiss journalists to tell us everything we need to know about the game tomorrow.
So I'm live here in the press room, just spoken to the Switzerland camp ahead of tomorrow's game against Scotland, and I'm joined by Christian Finkelbeiner from Blick in Switzerland, Swiss paper. Did I pronounce everything correctly?
Everything okay, thanks.
Brilliant. Thanks for joining us, Christian. We've just heard from the Swiss camp. Obviously, you won your opening game 3-1. Was that a surprise to people back home?
In a way, yeah, a little bit, because we didn't know exactly before the tournament how good the Swiss team is. Of course, we have very good players like Granit Xhaka, who won the double with Leverkusen. We have players from Bologna, from Inter, from Man City. But especially the forwards were not so good, so we didn't know exactly how good this team is. And yeah, in a way, we were a little bit surprised about the performance, about the win. And so yeah, I think people are now much more optimistic for this tournament.
So how are they feeling ahead of the Scotland game? What are they expecting? Are they expecting their team to beat Scotland tomorrow?
Yeah, that's a bit the problem after the first win. Now everybody thinks, okay, now we have also to beat the Scottish team, because most of them saw the performance from Scotland against Germany, which was probably not the best. So yeah, and everybody knows, okay, now we will win against Scotland, that we have done the big final against Germany. But yeah, but I think it will be a new game, so it will be not so easy that we will also beat Scotland.
Were people in Switzerland surprised about the Scottish performance at all, or can it be understandable given the size, the might of the German team?
Well, I think the football experts in Switzerland knew that Scotland played a very good qualification, especially the game against Spain was really good. And and that's the reason why. And a lot of people also like Scotland, you know, like this fighting spirit, the fans you have. So there are a lot of positivity about Scotland. But I think the problem is always first game against Germany, which is very talented. Of course, the performance was bad, but I think at the end everybody knew that probably Scotland won't win against Germany. For them, the important games are against Switzerland, against Hungary. Mm-hmm. So at the end, if you lose 1-5 or 1-0, it doesn't matter.
We just spoke to Manuel Akanji there. We all know about him. We see him play for Manchester City and that brilliant team. We know about Granit Xhaka at Arsenal, now at Leverkusen. But who are the players that people in Scotland might not know about? You talked about the forward line. Perhaps who are the ones that we should look out for that we might not know?
The guy which was the surprise of the last few months was Dan Endoy. He plays for Bologna since that year, or that season. And he's very fast, very quick player. He played very good also in the preparation games. So he was probably the high flyer of the preparation. But I think he is not known very well at the moment, although he plays for Bologna. The big surprise was Quad Wadua, the guy who scored the first goal. Mm-hmm. Also in Switzerland, you know, he plays in the Bulgarian league, so it was his second game for the national team. So he was a big surprise that he will play from the beginning, and then he scored. So, and Joachim said after the game, yeah, probably nobody knew him. We'll know him a little bit in Switzerland, but now whole Europe will know him. So he was a big surprise.
Just finally, some people in Scotland this week have been looking at Switzerland, your history over the last decade, and it's almost as if the Swiss are the team that Scotland want to be. The slightly smaller nation with a group of good players, a good generation, constantly qualifying for the last 16. What's been the key, do you think?
Yeah, I think the thing is we have, in a way, like a golden generation all around, Granit Xhaka, but also some other players like Ricardo Rodriguez, who plays together with Xhaka. They won the Under-17 World Cup 2009, but also Jan Sommer, Sheridan Shaqiri. So we had a very talented squad, and they got a lot of success. So they qualified in 5 tournaments in a row, mm-hmm, to the final phase. But we didn't have like a big success. But the last one, then it came finally against France. It was the big night for us. But of course, we hope that we can go in the same direction this tournament. But never know.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for your time. That's the view from the Swiss camp. They'll be hoping that they can beat Scotland tomorrow night and reach the last 16. Of course, we're hoping for the opposite.
And now you know everything you needed to know about Switzerland, how they see Scotland, how they see themselves, what big players they've got up their sleeve ahead of tomorrow. I don't know if that fills you with confidence or dread. I'll let you decide whilst we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You always talk about being in the right frame of mind going into a big game. I think these two are here to be taken advantage of tonight because they've actually shaken off their lack of match sharpness and fitness, shall we say, from the last couple of days, but they look down. This weather has got to them. Gordon DL has got his hood up, it's over his eyes. What's that? In fact, this is it. Who's that? I'm not a Star Wars fan. Who is that he looks like?
Emperor Palpatine, is it now?
Because he's got the black hood coming over his eyes. I'm not making any judgment about his face, but Google that during the break and you'll see exactly what we mean. And in the meantime, it's 01419511025 for Beat the Pundit. You can win yourself a signed ball. Luckily, we'll be sending it from Clydebank, not from Cologne. And you have to call before the end of this break.
01419511025. Live from Cologne. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Yes, welcome back to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still live in Germany, live on the banks of the Rhine in Cologne, if anybody cares. I don't think we're getting much sympathy since we're away for 12 days. It is still pouring. The fan park is still closed, which means we're doing it the traditional way. No fans here to talk to us. We want to speak to you. 01419511025. What do we do tomorrow? What does Steve Clark do? How does he fix things? Who would you pick in your team? Because as soon as we play Beat the Pundit, we're going to go live to the press conference that Steve Clark's just done. We'll get the thoughts there of the Scotland manager and find out a bit more about the thought process ahead of what is a massive game. But let's play a big game of our own first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I'll tell you what, Mark Wilson, you travel well. You've won three in a row while in Germany.
Yeah, no, pretty strong, eh?
That's sensational.
Three in a row?
Yeah.
Three in a row, yeah.
Good
on the continent, this guy.
One night here, a couple of nights in Munich.
Very good indeed. Anyway, let's meet tonight's contestant, who's Brian. How's it going, Brian?
Aye, very good, aye. Excellent. Yourselves, lads?
All good. How does Steve Clark fix his team tomorrow? Who are you picking? Who are you playing?
I'd go for trying to get Tierney on the left, Jamesy Boy Forrest to the right, Shankland through the middle. We have to go, and we're far too narrow against Germany. And I know Switzerland's only lost 1-15, but it's going to be a tough game. I would take a draw just now, but hopefully
I think we all would, wouldn't
draw.
We? Yeah, going to be tough for sure. Just listening to that before the news, the Swiss expert talking about how you forget, you know, just how, just because it's not a glamorous name in world football, constantly at major tournaments, which we are not, constantly in the latter stages of major tournaments, which we are certainly not. So it's going to be tough. I suspect Beat the Pundit tonight will be a bit easier. Heads, it will be Mark Wilson, and tails, it will be Gordon DL. Get that Euro sorted. It's you again, Mark Wilson. What a run.
Now you know how I feel back in Clydebank. I just don't travel well abroad, you do.
Okay, I'm going to leave the area.
Here's the thing, Mark Wilson, because it's very quiet tonight because there are no fans. You're going to have to go, you're going to have to cross the Rhine to get far enough away. Someone take him far enough away to make sure he can't hear the answers, because honestly, we're lonely here on our little perch above the river.
I think he's taking it to the extremes.
He likes to get his steps in. Remember, he's practicing for Kilimanjaro.
He's nearly back at the hotel.
See, now that he's not here and I can speak behind his back, see if I had a euro for every time he told me he was training for Kilimanjaro when he was on the beers the other day. Honestly, I'd have enough to charter a private jet for us back to Glasgow when this is all over.
Oh my word. I get it every night before I turn the light.
He was trying to offer to carry everybody's bags, even though he had his own, right? So he had like his own bag and he was just trying to take like multiple suitcases off people when he could barely walk in a straight line, honestly, and both his shoelaces were undone.
Yeah, he wasn't in a good place.
Anyway, he's coming back in a minute, so a bit more. He's too close. I think he can hear us.
No, I don't think.
Get rid of him. Right, Brian, it's pretty straightforward. 30 seconds on the clock. You answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer. Okay,
sure.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Who did Germany play tomorrow?
Hungary.
Which former Aberdeen player is in the Albanian squad?
Pass.
Which Scotland squad member won the FA Cup this season?
McTawney.
In what year did Greece win the Euros?
2008.
True or false, Ronaldo is the oldest player at this year's tournament?
True.
Who's England's top scorer at European Championships?
Harry Kane.
Okay, let's bring him back. Mark Wilson. Mark, come back.
I'll phone him.
Do you know what? See for Gordon DL, obviously a man of his vintage, he's a bit of a technophobe. Tell everybody what you've learned to do on this holiday.
I'm dropping pins
he's
everywhere.
Dropping pins all over the place to let people know his live location. I just feel like that could get you in a bit of bother when you go home.
Yeah, I need to watch what I'm doing. But I'm very pleased with myself. The only problem is I had to drop it there for about 2 minutes because my data's not great.
He's been dropping pins left, right and centre, Mark Wilson,
hasn't he?
He
actually taught me how to do it.
You're joking.
Shameful.
Shameful. Yeah. Anyway, right, let's give you the same set of questions, Mark. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who did Germany play tomorrow?
Hungary.
Which former Aberdeen player is in the Albanian squad?
Oh, pass.
Which Scotland squad member won the FA Cup this season?
McTominay.
In what year did Greece win the Euros?
Oh, 2004.
True or false, Ronaldo is the oldest player at this year's tournament?
False.
Who is England's top scorer at European Championships?
Kane.
Who did Scotland play in their opening game of Euro 2020?
Czech Republic. Was that Czech Republic?
No, you've got to give him another question.
I wasn't sure if I had time for another question.
Ah, you do.
Nah, we're fine. Brian, how do you think it went?
I think I maybe just picked up.
Maybe just
I don't think there's a maybe in that,
it's
Brian.
It's not a good place to be. If Mark Wilson goes four in a row out here in Germany, that's sensational. Because you were rubbish this season. The back of a really bad season.
I get a
season.
Zero in there as well.
Easy one to kick you both off. Germany do play Hungary tomorrow and you both got it. I knew this one would catch you. Which former Aberdeen players in the Albanian squad is tough? Ramadani.
Ah, when they've got that.
Remember he came last season?
I didn't. Midfielder.
On, yeah. The Scotland squad member who won the FA Cup is Scott McTominay, yes. So you both got that as well. So we're still level. In what year did Greece win the Euros? It was 2004.
Oh, what a shout.
Mark Wilson goes in front, beat hosts Portugal 1-0
in the
final.
Well.
There we are. True or false, 50-50. Ronaldo is the oldest player at this year's tournament. What did you say again?
He went false.
I said false.
Brian,
he's
what did
39.
You say?
True.
He said true. It is false. Unbelievable.
Yes.
He's so lucky, Brian. How lucky is he?
No, well, Ronaldo's 39.
Uh-huh.
So,
Brian's laughing.
One of the other players must be older.
His teammate, Pepe, 41.
Oh, so he is 41.
41. Yeah. You both went Harry Kane for England's top scorer at Euros. It's actually Alan Shearer still.
Oh, yeah, after 96.
Yeah, he got 5 at 96 and 2 at 2000. So I'm sure Harry Kane will look to overtake him. And Scotland did play Czech Republic in their opening game. So I'm
another
afraid
victory.
It was a 5-2 for Mark Wilson. However, do you think Scotland can go one better tomorrow, Brian?
As I said, I would take a draw. I can't see he's beating them.
You can take that. Is that fair? Is that the way it is?
I think we've got to start somewhere, but I think it's important that we really put the disappointment of Friday behind, hit the ground running. Look, we watched a little bit of the game the other night there with Switzerland, in the afternoon, and I've got to say, what I did see of them, I was quite impressed. So we'll need to be at the top of your game if we're going to win this.
But that's exactly the type of attitude that's just got Brian absolutely battered there for me. He's looking for a draw. I go all out to win, Brian. Be more positive.
I know it feels like a slightly long time ago because we had the news and beat the pundit, but listening to that Swiss expert, just in case anyone is under any illusions, just this in isolation is a really tough challenge.
Yeah.
I know we come off the back of Germany, so everyone's saying, well, it has to be better, and clearly that's what we all hope is the case.
Can I make a final point?
Of course you can, Brian.
I'm pessimistic because of how we played in the Euros in 2021. We were all out against England and then we were absolutely diabolical against the Czech Republic and Croatia. And what I've seen against Germany, okay, Germany are a good team. I just don't think I've got it in all honesty, as much as I hate
This is the thing, like, myths can... We were not diabolical against Croatia. They were better than us. Mm. There are two teams in the pitch, and you have to deal with that, Mark. Well, I suppose what I was trying to say is, irrespective of what happened against Germany, Switzerland is and would be a really tough test in its own right.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, without doubt. And you listen to some of the players, Akanji there, that Gavs was just mentioning, plays every week at Man City, he's been absolutely terrific. Look, their main man's Xhaka in the middle of the pitch. Sort of played the game the other day, a bit similar to Toni Kroos, dictated everything goes through him. I think we need to be closer to him. And at the top end of the pitch, they've got real pace and goal scoring threats.
Jamie's on the line as well. How are you, Jamie?
How we doing?
Good, thanks. What's your point tonight?
Okay, a bit of a controversial one, but I'm interested in your opinions, okay? So, if we just dial ourselves back, we're 2-0 down against Germany, and we're close to half-time, chance to regroup, chance to come out in the second half, score a goal, maybe make a game of it. And then, what I've described to my friends before this game is, the walking red card, which is Ryan Porteous, does something ridiculous, and it's a horrible tackle. It's just, he's done it again and again. I was saying to your producer, if I was Steve Clark, I'd say, away you go, him. I would get rid of him. I would say, pay your own fear. Away you back to, go back to, get him out of the squad. I just think he let us all down. And we've got cover at centre-back. You might have to tell me if this is true, but I think he misses the next two games with a red card anyway.
Yes, he does, yep.
And I could not believe, like, for a player to be in that position in his box, to go in with a tackle like that, he could have broke Gundogan's leg, and I just thought it was scandalous, and it's not a one-off. He does it all the time. What do you think?
I don't think MD's defending the tackle, of course. Everybody we spoke to, I think we all agreed, red card. Now, you said that he let Scotland down. He let himself down, first and foremost. He did let the team down. But he wasn't alone. I looked through that full starting 11 and everyone that was concerned with it. I didn't give any of the players pass marks. Porteous was one of these, and he's going to suffer from that, because probably you look at the next two games and if we don't get results, then he's going home anyway. But to just single him out and say, you know, just get him out of the squad, send him home, because he's been a big part. He's played well for us, Gordon. You know,
played most of the campaign, almost all of it.
So sometimes, just don't judge on that one game. Listen, that boy sitting there, he'd been looking forward to the Euros as much as everybody else, and he knows at half time he's walking off the pitch. He knows that obviously he's let everybody down. But let me say something. I just had the feeling the other night, if we'd have put a sub on, never took MD off and kept 12 players on, I still don't think we were beating Germany.
Jamie, do we not have to be careful as well that we're not describing these things in ways that are factually incorrect?
Ryan Porteous, let
me finish if you don't mind. The red card the other night was Ryan Porteous' first red card in about 100 games for club and country. So you see, he does it all the time. He does it time and time again. 100 games since his last red card.
Okay, domestically, I've seen him do a lot of bad tackles, but I do take your point. But one thing I would say is...
No, that's not time and time again in anybody's book then, is it? That's a lot of football.
Take that back. But one thing I would say is that, you know, what we're saying about not giving pass marks, games are made up of moments. Getting in at half-time is a chance for Steve Clark to say, right, we froze there, we've let ourselves down that first half, but we've got a chance to regroup. What's worked, what's not worked. Let's go again, galvanise, go out the second half and try and make a game of it. But that was taken away. We basically just tried to keep the score down in our tactics second half, damage limitation. And yeah, I think Ryan Porteous is really let us down in that. And
who replaces him tomorrow, Jamie? Who replaces him for you?
I'm probably going to back three of Tierney, McKenna and Hendry, probably. Yeah. Obviously we're all very emotional with these things. We don't go to many of these tournaments. I'm 40 this year. The last time I remember, apart from the last one, is a long, long time ago. And you're just really looking forward to these things. I know it's always going to be a hard game, but don't give any gifts, you know. Just prepare right. And it was the manner of the tackle. It wasn't like he was unlucky, he was a little bit late. It was scandalous and it was reckless, and that's what annoyed me.
Like, I think we need to be careful just not to make people a scapegoat. I think if history have told us anything about major tournaments and players being sent off and having a hellish time after it, we've seen all the documentaries before, so let's just kind of bin that idea. Daz is right, you know, none of our players played well in big moments, okay, in games that happens. So
it's but, also but very much gone as well, isn't
it? Yeah, let's move on. I think you make a good point or ask a good question, Gordon. Who is going to replace him? Because that is a big question. I just wonder how fit Hanley is. I just think, look, we've seen Jack Henry playing the right side of that back three, and I think with his pace and he's quite comfortable in possession, which we're going to need tomorrow on that right side. I think Henry's actually better in possession than Portis. I think he'll move there. So it's that central one, because Tierney will play the left one. Do you play McKenna the central one, or is Hanley fit enough? If Hanley's shown he's fit enough, then Steve Clarke might just go to him again, but it's all about how many games or lack of games he's played.
01419511025. Thank you to Jamie. After we return, we are going to go live to a reporter, Andrew McLean. He's been speaking to Steve Clarke. Andy Robertson's been speaking as well. We've got a lot of questions. What sort of answers do they have? You'll find out next.
Hi, I'm John McGinn on Clyde One.
Hi, I'm Kenny McLean. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Live from Cologne, this is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson are here, 01419511025, to join in. Match day minus one, they call it in UEFA speak, the day before the big game, I think we'll call it. What it does mean, though, is that the manager and the players, or certainly one player, have to face the media. It's the big deal, it's the big press conference, all the Scottish media pack in, the visiting media as well, some media from around the continent tuned in to hear what Steve Clarke has to say. I think we can go to the stadium now and speak to our reporter, Andrew McLean. Andrew, how are you?
Yes, all good. Just finished, as you say, speaking to Steve Clarke, speaking to Andy Robertson as well here at the Cologne Stadium, where I'm sure, like you guys, it is hammering down with rain at the moment. But yeah, it's maybe not quite the glamour of the Allianz Arena the other night, but still a nice ground. Sounds stupid to say, but it's sort of very German in its design. Think of, you know, Dortmund's ground. It looks very similar to that inside. 50,000-seater as well, so should be a good atmosphere tomorrow, even if it is still hammering down with rain. Hopefully not by the time kickoff comes around, but, you know, the pressure really is on, isn't it? Scotland need that result tomorrow. We all know it. The staff know it. The squad know it as well. They're well aware. Steve Clarke was asked about that as well. And speaking to him today, you know, you look back to Friday after the game, he was pretty short and sharp, wasn't he, with a few of the journalists. He was a lot more relaxed down in Garmisch-Partenkirchen on Sunday when we spoke to him, not really wanting to do a whole lot of talking today. I think he's preferring that his team just do the talking on the pitch tomorrow night. But he says all their focus has been on making sure that they're better tomorrow than they were on Friday, and that he feels that if they're at their best, they can get the result.
I think it's just about doing better. It's exactly that, whether you want to put any labels on or whatever. Like I said before, and I spoke to a lot of you on Sunday, is about doing better, working better into the game. We thought we were well prepared for Germany. Obviously we weren't. So this time I think it's better not to say too much, and hopefully our actions on the pitch will show you that we've prepared well, and a positive result would be lovely. To go into the game and think you only need a point is dangerous. We go there to win. We go there to be as positive as we can, and then we see where that takes us. Like I said, it's more about making sure we perform as well as we can play, and if we do that, then I'm pretty confident we'll get something from the game.
Yeah, I think Steve Clarke just looking forward to the game coming around now, doesn't want to do too much talking. It was his captain Andy Robertson that was up as well, a very good orator, isn't he? He's always happy to speak. He was very open and honest today as well. He's also aware they need to do their talking on the pitch, but he knows they let supporters down, that they didn't show anywhere near the level they're capable of on Friday night. He reflected on what went wrong in that game as well. He says Germany actually surprised them in the way they played. They sat deeper, it isolated Shea Adams, it gave Toni Kroos the licence to really go. And
as you can possibly hear in the background, we've got McLean's disappeared. Must be the rain.
The weather.
It is proper battering it down now, I have to say. As you can possibly hear in the background, we've got the first bit of Steve Clarke. We'll try and hook up again with Andrew in a second and get the rest of it. And Mark, I get probably the way Steve Clarke comes across, people maybe want to hear a bit more and maybe want it to be a bit more expressive, but in many ways that's the bit that the players have praised in the past. Yeah. They like the fact that he's sort of straight to the point, so hopefully it'll work this time around.
Yeah, just simplify things there. And, you know, it must be hard for Steve Clark because he is talking to the media a lot because they're all around the camp and he faced up the other day when maybe it was another coach. But just trying to keep things really basic, really simple, trying to do things better. He's spot on with that. I mean, we can pick holes in the shape and people coming on here will change the shape, will change personnel. You know, he's probably looking at the players who started the game and say, if you get everything, just perform that wee bit better, then we'll be in a better place.
I think we've got Andrew McLean back. You were somewhere on your way to introducing an answer from Andy Robertson, I believe.
Yeah, he was just reflecting on the players and how they played on Friday night. He actually says that he thinks they played with fear on Friday night. The occasion got to some of them as well, and that he feels they just need to get back to being Scotland.
Maybe the gaffer was a bit harsh on himself. I think, yeah, okay, if he believes he gave us too much information, but I believe the information was clear. And I just think, you know, maybe the occasion got to a couple of us. Maybe just some of us didn't have our best games. Maybe on Friday we played a wee bit with fear, which we didn't want. We can't dwell on it. We have to move on from it now. And we've got another game round the corner. And that's what's good about this tournament. The game, you don't have to wait too long. Hopefully people see the Scotland that we believe in. And if we do that, then that gives us the best possible chance for a positive result. I think we just have to get back to being us. I don't think we've been ourselves. You know, we definitely weren't ourselves on Friday. We need to realise what got us the results in the past and what was, you know, what we were good at when we went to the pitch, because the message off the pitch hasn't changed.
Yeah, he was also, Steve Clark as well, was asked about changes to the squad, kept his cards close to his chest, as you can imagine. He says there will, of course, be at least one change because Ryan Porteous won't play because he's got that two-match suspension. Wouldn't reveal any more than that, apart from the fact that he said that everyone else in the squad is fit and ready to go tomorrow night.
Yeah, interesting to hear that. I suppose that was what everyone hoped would be the case. It's hard enough when you have your hands tied behind your back before you even come into the tournament and various players injured, so good to know that everyone's so far coming through it. Did you commit both of you to someone who would replace Ryan Porteous?
I'm going for Hanley. I think he'll go with the experience of Hanley.
And that would be your choice as well, or would you go Scott McKenna?
I would go Hanley. I know he's not played a lot of football, but I think the occasion will get him through.
Agree. I think Hanley will come into that central area, Jack Kenway will go over one, and Tierney the other side.
Yeah. I suppose, Andrew, you mentioned, you know, Steve Clark, he probably doesn't love chatting expansively, just wants to get back out there. You've been down at the team sort of base down in Garmisch-Partenkirchen over the last few days. You're back up, so they've travelled up. I don't know what their plans are. Are they going to train at the stadium? Hopefully it's not a waterlogged pitch looking at these conditions.
Yeah.
No, the players trained this morning. Actually, they trained before they came down, so they actually got a bus up to Munich. They then flew up here to Garmisch-Partenkirchen. Obviously came from Garmisch-Partenkirchen. They're now in Cologne at the stadium. Yeah, sometimes there is that rule where the teams need to train on the pitch the day before the game. I think Scotland will be quite happy that that's not the case today, because it will be a very heavy pitch. I just walked out and had a look there. The rain is hammering down, but the players all went straight to the team hotel after they got that flight up from Munich, and Steve Clark and Andy Robertson came here for the media duty. So I think it will just be a final team meeting, final preparations, final words. Not too many words, of course, because Steve Clark says that he feels he maybe gave the players a bit too much information going into the game, but he'll want to send a clear message to those players when they have that final team meeting heading into tomorrow night.
Okay, thank you to Andrew McLean. We will go back to the phones right now on 0141 951 1025. We were about to just stopped in our tracks. We were about to speak to John and Barhead, who's disappeared. We'll get him back in a second. The other, it's funny, I don't detect too many people debating who's going to play at the back. It's almost like because someone has to come in, and I don't know, there's not much of a muchness there. The players are all quite similar. It feels like the real debate for people is, should Billy Gilmore come back in? Who should he replace? So what does that look like for you? Does that mean Ryan Christie drops out?
I think that's a decision that needs to be made, Gordon. I think tomorrow night we'll need to get a hold of the ball, we'll need to pass it through the lines, as it's called now in modern day football. Gilmore is one of the best in the business at it. He's been terrific for us. I think that Steve Clark's always had Gilmore in mind for this game tomorrow night. So I think he'll be a stick on to play. It's just who he plays in there, where you would think the other starters.
What would you do then? What's your prediction?
I know that Christie, I like Christie. I think he brings so much going forward. I think his energy, pace, everything about him, he's been terrific with Bournemouth this year, no doubt about that. I think he'll go with his usual four. I think Christie will get left out. I think that obviously Gilmore and McGregor will sit as that partnership. I think they'll then allow McTominay to get forward with McGinn and go and support the striker. And I've got a funny feeling that he might just go with Shankland. As much as I defended Adams because he had no service whatsoever on Friday night.
See, if that is the case and it's Gilmore in and no Ryan Christie, Mark, is that a team that needs the ball? That team doesn't seem like it's catching anyone on the break. You know, yeah, it's already a squad that doesn't have a great deal of pace in it. You take Ryan Christie out.
Yeah.
Is that a real challenge?
Yeah, but I think that's what we need to do. I think at this tournament, when you're playing against elite teams, you cannot just give the ball away or try and turn teams like you would in domestic football. It just doesn't work because you won't see the ball for an awful long time. So that box four that Dad's talking about, you know, with McGregor and Gilmore sitting, McTominay and McGinn, I think that's your best bet of keeping possession.
I think we've got John and Barhead back. How's it going, John?
How's it going, all right?
Can I ask,
many beers have they had?
Today they're absolutely fine, believe it or not. I can't say for the rest of the trip.
Why are they still insisting on Grant Hanley?
You got another name for us?
I would go with the boy Cooper of Leeds. I know he's not played a lot with Leeds, but he's dependable, he's never let Scotland in. Grant Hanley's dung. Sorry,
tell us what you really think.
He's dung, man.
You wouldn't have said that the night Grant Hanley played and we beat Spain, though, would you?
Wasn't Grant Hanley beat Spain?
No, I mean, he's part of the team, though. You know, if you were, he can't be that bad.
That's my opinion, isn't it? It's all about opinions. But I think the boy Cooper's a better bet than both Grant Hanley and Scott McKenna.
The only thing, look, Cooper plays with Leeds United, right? He's the captain of the side. Now, the only thing I've got to worry there is, I think he needs to play left centre back for me. I don't think he can play in the middle. And if we're going to play the three, Tierney's a stick on there, because Mark talked about it. If we're going to go up the pitch tomorrow night, the strength, hopefully, and I know it didn't work against Germany, the strength of Tierney and Robertson on that left hand side is a good balance for us. I think he needs someone to play and just organise the middle of our defence. Germany carved us open time after time through the middle of our defence the other night there, and I think that's why Steve Clarke will like the fact of the experience of Hanley coming in.
Wonder about pace, Mark, and how much Steve Clarke likes that from his back three, because if it's Porteous, Hanley and Tierney, or Jack Hendry's one of them, I'm just talking generally, you know, over the previous campaign, yeah, or Jack Hendry or Scott McKenna, they're all considered quick.
Yeah.
You know, I know Grant Hanley, he doesn't seem it perhaps, and I'm not sure he's the sharpest, maybe like turning and so, but once he gets going, he's actually pretty quick. I think the stats do prove that. Liam Cooper's always been such an interesting one, because to be fair to John, he's kind of right. If you were looking at like kind of CV and the level operated at, you would think Liam Cooper would have nailed down a place in this Scotland back three at some point, but he never has.
Yeah,
then maybe there's a reason for
it. Well, it hasn't, and Steve Clarke has seen him up close, and he's seen Hanley up close, and he's seen Jack Henry and all the rest of them, and it always seems to be a combination of Henry, Hanley, Portis has come in and done a job, and Cooper's the one that comes in and sort of fills in when there's a gap there or there's a longer term injury. Look, Cooper's playing at a really good level, but I think in this tournament, the way football's evolving, the way football's played now, with teams playing such a high line, you need pace. And if you're playing in the back three now, you've got it in spades and Tierney, and the other side with Henry, that middle one has to be quick also. And I think your best bet on the night will be Hanley. And that's because I think Steve Clarke will go for him. Now, I might be proved wrong tomorrow evening, but just going in history of who Steve Clarke likes to play, if Hanley's fit and he thinks he's fit enough to play the game, I think he'll pick him.
But you're not having it, John, not at all.
Not at all. No, I'm sorry. I need to stick by my guns. I'll tell Dazzler I'll be giving away secrets about the old taxi rides I used to do for them.
Oh wow. Oh wow.
That sounds ominous.
John, I'm with you, Cooper, all day long. I think you make a great point there.
Do you remember getting picked up in your taxi a few times?
Of course, yeah, he doesn't remember.
Of course I do, John, yes, but just keep
remember
quiet.
Remember that for Newman?
Yes, I did. John, please go for it.
That's gone.
You know what I'm talking about.
That's no, I know what you're talking about, John.
You can tell us later on when the show's finished. I think for your own sanity, I think it's for the best that we probably leave it there for you, because you look genuinely worried.
That hood's slipping further down his face.
I'm slipping further under his table.
Oh, Arthur Newman, eh? And you in a taxi. Could have went wrong there.
I must admit, even we've never heard that story.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Arthur Newman's story.
Yeah, I'll tell you later, boy, over a sandwich and a coffee.
Okay. What about the... That is going to be fascinating, that tomorrow, that area of the pitch. It has to be right. Because, Mark, the complaint from the early stages the other night was that we were high and we were getting done in behind.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that's deliberate. Not to get done in behind, obviously, but the whole point of the back three being as quick as they are, we've done it before, they feel that they can do it. Mm. So how do you strike that balance between trying to play to your strengths and, you know, also trying to be wary of the fact that, you know, you might not get it right? Because ultimately, it's not as simple then, you know more about it than me. Educate me. You can't just say, right, well, don't play as high, because then you're taking something else away from, you know, how high the team is.
Well, I think it's our best bet to squeeze the game. If we play high, your goalkeeper's obviously got to adopt a higher position as well. But if you play high, like we did the other night, and Daz pointed out within about 5 minutes, there was so much grass in behind, but only because our midfield didn't squeeze up as well. So we were playing that high a back line, but we're allowing Tony Cruz just to get the ball and pick these passes over the top. So everyone needs to push the next one up. So our back three being high, of course, they'll need to push up. If it's Gilmore and McGregor, they'll need to push them on a bit, which in turn can allow McGinn or McTominay or whoever's playing those areas to go and actually put real pressure on the ball. That's our best hope, a winning the ball, higher up the pitch. And if it does somehow go over the top, if our goalkeeper Angus Gunn adopts a slightly higher position, and you've got a mix of that pace in the back three, then we should be okay. But we just allow too much space in the middle of the pitch for quality players at this level to pick those passes, and they ended up killing us. And before you knew it, we were dragged all over the pitch and we were two down.
Yeah, tactically, we never got it right. We didn't press in the right areas. You actually watch the game out, and 10 minutes into it, you see John McGinn, and he's looking if to say, do I go or do I stay here? And obviously, he just sat off the midfield, and Germany had too much quality, runners, everything about it. That part of the game we will need to get spot on tomorrow night, and I think that's what Steve Clark's alluding to there, Gordon. I think he's looked at this, I think he's worked at it, I think he's went over it. He'll have got them in and, you know, went through and videos and everything about their distances, when to press and where to press, and he'll be hoping for a better result tomorrow night, because he'll certainly need it.
Yeah, there's still time to get calls into us, so please do on that usual number, 01419511025. I think we can hear from the Swiss camp as well, because they've done their press, as we heard earlier on. We gave you a Swiss expert who was giving us the inside track on what to expect. Got some big names. Man City defender Manuel Akanji was the representative speaking to the press, and he says he knows Scotland are capable of much better than they showed on Friday.
They lost the first game, and I didn't think they showed the best performance. They also played the half time, one man down. So yeah, they want to show everyone that they're a better team like this. They played a great qualification, and we're prepared for that, or we're trying to do our best. And it's their chance to go into the next round. So they for sure come to get the 3 points, but that's our goal as well. And we have to be ready from the start, because we know that they can play a lot better than they did in the first game. So yeah, we got to be ready and got to show a good performance again.
It is that time of the night where it's your chance to win cash. Who does not like the sound of that? There can be nobody out there who doesn't like the sound of that. It's your pundit predictor with Cole Robert. All you have to do is pretty simple: guess the results of the next three games in the Euros on our pundit predictor. Last night, Robert and Scotstoun, he only had to predict two, the way the fixtures fell, Turkey and France. They both won, and he won a couple of £100 on there as well. So £300, in fact, it was, wasn't it? 300. 100 it rolled over to. So well done to Robert for winning the cash. That means we go back to 100 and we build it up again. So to win the money, all you have to do is predict the outcome, not even the score line, just the outcome in the following games. Portugal against Czech Republic, 8 o'clock tonight. Croatia, Albania tomorrow, and Germany, Hungary tomorrow. Those are the next three games. And of course, you can pick yourself up against Mark Wilson and Gordon DL as well, but that's just for bragging rights. So here's how you do it. You pick up the phone, you dial 0141 951 1025. You just predict the outcome of those three games, and if you get them all right, you win the cash. Lines close at the end of this break.
0141 951 1025. Live from Cologne, this is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
The final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, live from Cologne on the banks of the Rhine that quite frankly look like they're about to burst because the weather is so bad. But we move on to our pundit predictor, because one way to cheer anybody up that needs cheered up is to give them some cash, and that is the reality. We've teamed up with Col Robert for our pundit predictor. We wanted you to predict the outcomes of the next three games at the Euros for your chance to win £100. Those games are Portugal against Czech Republic, Croatia against Albania, and Germany against Hungary. And I'm pleased to see that you were calling in your droves during the break. And on the line, who do we have? We have got David, who's in Douglas. How's it going, David?
All right, how you doing?
Not bad at all, David. How's your predictions generally? Any good?
No, rotten.
It's encouraging. This could be it then. Maybe you've used up all your bad luck. So here we go, right. Three games. Portugal against Czech Republic, first up tonight. Who wins? Portugal win, Czech Republic win, or a draw?
Portugal win.
Portugal win. On to tomorrow then, 2 p.m. Croatia, Albania. Croatia win, Albania win, or draw?
Croatia win.
Croatia win. And then finally, 5 o'clock tomorrow, Germany, Hungary, or draw?
I'd love to say Hungary, but I can't see it. Germany.
Going Germany, all three. Mark Wilson, this bit's just for the bragging rights. Okay. Would you differ at all, those three?
I'm going to go a draw for the middle one. I think the Albanians will surprise the Croatians, but okay. Portugal will win and Germany will win either side of that.
Well, it's pretty simple. All you have to do now is sit back and enjoy. And if you get the three predictions right, the £100 will be yours, David. Sound good?
That sounds good. Right, cheers, lads.
Good man. We'll find out tomorrow night, and it's all thanks to Col Robert. We'll do that right throughout the group stages as well. Let's go back to the phones. One final call. Andrew's in Busby. How's it going, Andrew? All right, Andrew. Yeah. Andrew, are we interrupting you?
Oh, sorry.
Are you busy? What are you doing, Andrew? We're nosy.
I'm out walking the dog, and a friend of mine stopped me. Anyway, sorry.
Listen, don't you worry. We'll wait. What's your dog's name?
Seamus.
Seamus
the duck.
I was waiting on wee Scott McTominay. We McTominay the dog. That's not too bad to be. Do you know what I've got a real fascination with? I'm not much of a dog person. See, when you hear someone's dog who's got like a really human name, right? My wife and I, my daughter, were up at a caravan in St Andrews a couple of weeks ago. Maybe the guy's even listening. Fair play to him. I'm not slagging your dog's name. It was just funny. He was one of these guys really aggressively shouting at his dog constantly. Right, always run a caravan next day and he just kept shouting, Andy! Andy! Who calls their dog?
That's a good one. I like that.
But
Andy
anyway,
the dog.
Seamus and Andrew on the line. What are you thinking about the Euros? Let's move on.
Just saying to the producer there that I've not watched all the games, Gordon, but obviously to kind of get over the fact that Friday night, you know, it was harsh, but I've been watching the games and the highlights. I was just wondering what the guys thought about the quality of the football of the tournament. I think it's been unreal. Some of the goals, some of the play, it's just been amazing. And, you know, from watching Euros in the past and World Cups, I think it's up there with some of the best football I've seen. What do the guys think about the quality of the tournament all round so far in the first round? You know, we've not even seen everyone play. Have they been enjoying the football?
Yeah, it's been outstanding. you know, really has been your right to highlight the qualities on the pitch, because we've done a lot of talking about what's happened off the pitch and how equipped this country is to deal with such large numbers. But on the pitch, look, it started on Friday night. Let's not get away from that. The German side were incredible, the way they, you know, just picked apart Scotland. But then after that, the Swiss, the quality of goals has been extraordinary. And look, we've got more to come. You hit out with a good start just before we came on air.
Yeah, I actually read it on Twitter from Scotland's coefficient. They've joined us on the show before. I was an excellent source of information and stats, and I think we're up to 31, so it's the first time ever that the first 31 goals in the Euros have been scored by 31 different players. So there you go. Just remember, see if you're struggling to get to sleep tonight, you remember that.
Well, I'll get Mark to ask, mate, but I do agree with the caller and Andy the dog. I think that the games have been terrific, and you look at teams that you wouldn't imagine that good, and we're talking about one tonight, and we're facing them tomorrow night. As Switzerland, I thought Switzerland, their opening game, three goals, looked decent, really decent. Germany surprised me, I've got to say, because I said right up to the kickoff that we could get something. I was the same as everyone here, the Tartan Army, thought, yeah, getting there, but got confidence.
Oh, you okay?
I was getting excited there. Get a draw and move out. But the quality of the German side was incredible. And I just think we're going to get a terrific tournament. And I just want us to stay in as long as we possibly can.
Yeah, the most recent result, if anyone has missed it this evening, Turkey beat Georgia by 3-1. Georgia scoring the first ever goal at the Euros. We, of course, know all about them. They were in our group. They did finish below us. I know it feels like we are a proper European minnow, but of course Georgia would be a good bit below us in the food chain as well. So great to get that goal, and they made life difficult for Turkey for quite some time. But as often is the case, when you're chasing, Turkey added a third in the 97th minute to win 3-1. You're pleased with the overall standard out there, Andrew. What about Scotland then? What do you think about tomorrow? Andrew? Seamus?
Seamus has done his business. Andrew's just bagging it up as we speak.
Oh, boys, come on. We're going for dinner here.
I can't. Why would he phone up when he's a dog walk, then speak to his neighbour, and then just hang up? Because by the way, he made a very good point, though, because he's right. The quality on show, some of the players now, I spoke about it now, the way football's evolving and the way it's going, so attack-minded. You know, very, very few teams will come to defend. They'll play, you know, forward-thinking. And that's why I hope we do similar come tomorrow night.
Before we go then, just a quick check-in. Just make sure everything's going okay. Last night, we exposed you both. You had your tiff, but you're very much back on...
We're back in track, yep. We're back in track,
cuddling terms
a
in
nice,
the room.
He made me a nice coffee this afternoon, so we're all back in track.
You bought earplugs, though, for his snoring yesterday. Did they work?
To an extent.
So it's going to take more than that.
It's going to take
really
more, yeah. Your muffs, I think. No, your plugs. But I got a better sleep last night, put it that way.
Good, right, okay. And we tried to get you to conduct a walking tour of Cologne. You'll actually see the video on our social media channels. If you haven't, please head over and check it out. You were just too rough. Let's just be honest, you were just too rough. And it didn't really work.
I was in no mood for a walking tour. I don't particularly like them, first and foremost. But after the sort of day that Mark and I had, then I thought it was just the wrong
thing. We went on one, we tried.
I loved it. The
cathedral's spectacular, but you don't like it.
I don't like sightseeing, Gordon.
Europe's,
it doesn't form my boat.
Third biggest Picasso collection.
Yeah, brilliant.
Doesn't look like anything that, this guy.
Didn't it look good, did it?
Will we give it another try tomorrow?
No, it's a big build-up to get...
We'll go Thursday.
Do you know who I think we need to find? Karen, the Scotland fan, right? Wherever she may be. And Karen, the Scotland fan, is listening. What a moment we had. And I have to say, shame on us, right? Because you come here and there's all these kind of local coffee shops and cafes around. You really should sample the local culture. We fell victim to the corporate machine. They were all too busy. We went to Starbucks. Shameful. Yeah. I know, right, whatever, fine. But we're standing in the queue, and the thing is, the boss was there. Now, in theory, he's the boss. He should have more money than all of us, really. That's the way it should work, isn't it? But he was looking at the menu. He doesn't drink coffee. And Karen, the Scotland fan, turned round and said, listen, I recommend the dragon fruit something or other. My daughter swears by it. And the boss took one look at it and he went, £7 for a wee juice? Nah, I'm not sure. I don't know. And we just moved on. So away we went and we sat down. 5 minutes later, Karen swoops in from behind him, taps him in the shoulder, hands him the dragon fruit juice and says, "There you are, son, enjoy that on me," and just walks away. She must feel sorry for him, must think he's not got enough money to buy himself. He's the boss. He's the guy that's running the show.
I mean, I could understand if that was you yesterday and your form and the way you looked, then you could understand it. But the boss, he refused to pay €7.
Which is a scandal, by the way.
Oh, I know. But
Karen,
well done to Karen.
Well done to Karen for looking out for us. And there we are. I think that pretty much brings it to a close. Hopefully the weather perks up. I'm going to get you on those electric scooters if it is the last thing I do before we leave Cologne. You fancy that tomorrow?
Well, I've got the app now. Mark and I downloaded it today, so we're ready to go.
Drop a wee pin.
Drop a pin. Let me know where he's at.
You can come and find the Dazzler. There we go. We'll maybe get a video of that tomorrow. You can stay tuned. And even if he does fall into the river, even that won't be the biggest event to take place tomorrow. It's back to the serious stuff. Scotland taking on Switzerland. Game day. We'll be live in Cologne for a good bit before the game, right through the game and then afterwards. So rest up. We'll speak to you tomorrow because it is going to be a huge night for Steve Clark. A huge night for the country. We can't wait. Speak to you then.
Clyde One's Super Scoreboard with UK debt experts. If you're struggling with debt, they'll help you tackle it. May not be suitable for all. Fees and disadvantages may apply. Free advice at moneyhelper.org.uk.